This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 9th, 2020. This daily update is brought to you by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Our first story of the day is from Suzanne Cosgrove of JLN. It's about the Security Traders Association 2020 Regulatory Conference. It was virtual this year, and the title of the story is New Exchanges Taking Seats at the SIPS Table. Given that there are currently more than a dozen U.S. equity exchanges, why launch new ones? One reason is to lower costs, but another is to have a voice in governance and market structure, according to Jonathan Kellner, CEO of Memex, and Tom Gallagher, chairman and CEO of the MIEX Exchange Group, both of whom launched new equity exchanges in September. Memex was built as a startup with help of member investors with more than $135 million from firms including Charles Schwab Corp., Citadel Securities, Goldman Sachs Inc., and Virtu Financial. MIEX added an equity exchange to its three option exchanges. Kellner noted Memex is focused on the trading side of the business and not on listings. Memex will initially give away data and connectivity, quote, but the plan is not to lose money, unquote, Kellner said. When we reach a higher volume of trading, we will begin to change, he said. The questions will be, what are the right margins and costs? To read the rest of the story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The late Tom Gira was named the Security Traders Association's Dictum Meum Pactum Award recipient. The Dictum Meum Pactum Award recognizes individuals who have demonstrated an unwavering commitment to the betterment of the financial services industry and have exhibited acts of integrity at the highest levels consistent with the ideal STA has supported since its inception. Dictum meum pactum, my word is my bond. After early career stops at NASDAQ and the SEC's Division of Market Regulation, Gira joined FINRA in 1992 and eventually rose to the title of Executive Vice President of Market Regulation and Transparency Services. Under his leadership, FINRA's Market Regulation Department expanded to conduct cross-market surveillance of all U.S. equities markets and nearly half of the U.S. option markets. Gira passed away in June of 2020. JLN's GoFundMe campaign to raise funds to support MarketsWiki Education's programs and general operating expenses is off to a good start, with a total raised of $2,150. The first donation was for $250 from an anonymous donor, and the second was a donation of $100 from FIA CEO and President Walt Lucan. Other donors were Neil Lustig, Nicholas Solinger, Chuck Mackey, Leslie Sutphin, Don Combs, Kevin Brennan, and a couple of other anonymous donations. Neil Lustig is with the CME in operations at the Globex Control Center and was my boss when I was a runner back in 1981 for Shearson. He donated $100, which, if he had given $5 more, would have matched my weekly salary back then. Thank you to all who have donated and all who will donate yet. Join these industry leaders to support our work on MarketsWiki education and everything else we do by donating at the johnlothiannews.com website. YCharts has been acquired by middle market private equity firm LLR Partners. My wife and daughter, Catherine, and I are off camping in Missouri this weekend to see our sons and Catherine's brothers, Robbie and Tim. This is how we are coping with the pandemic and getting our family together. The dogs are headed for their first campout. Matt Rabel has a comment today. In yesterday's cryptocurrency section, we posted an article published by the Financial Times entitled The Strange IPO of Jonathan Roland Bitcoin Bank. It described FT's interactions with the founder and executive chairman of the Bitcoin firm Mode, Jonathan Roland. Roland apparently didn't like an article they published about Mode in September very much, So much so that he singled it out on Twitter and accused FT of publishing an article that was, quote, like an unhappy girlfriend writing a text message late at night, unquote. Unfortunately, I've encountered a lot of this kind of toxicity in the cryptocurrency space. This issue has been going on for a while and has been covered by other news outlets as well. Matt Rabel had a story today titled Mini VIX Futures Trading Views with Cboe's Ariane Krike. Here are more stories from other news organizations. The Wall Street Journal has a story titled How Citadel CEO Ken Griffin Built a $1 Billion Private Property Portfolio. The billionaire hedge funder has paid more than $1 billion on a cache of ultra-luxury homes from London to New York. What's behind the unprecedented spending? The story is by Catherine Clark of the Wall Street Journal. In the early 1900s, the country's wealthiest businessmen, including William Randolph Hearst and John D. Rockefeller, built sprawling gilded estates. Living at that kind of boundless scale fell out of favor with subsequent generations, however, and these kinds of estates were either subdivided or turned over to the state or preservationists. Mr. Griffin likes to buy real estate, but he often breaks the first rule, don't own the most expensive house on the block. But then if you're a billionaire, maybe that rule does not apply. Bloomberg is reporting crypto poses a growing threat to national security, U.S. says. Justice Department sees oncoming storm of criminal activity. Investigators slowed by patchwork of regulation, report finds. The emergence of cryptocurrency presents opportunities for terrorists, rogue nations, and other criminals who present a threat to U.S. national security, the Department of Justice said Thursday in a report. Law enforcement is hampered by the worldwide reach of digital coins and lack of consistent regulation across regions, which is, quote, detrimental to the safety and stability of the international financial system, unquote, the report found. Newer entities using crypto, such as peer-to-peer exchanges, kiosk operators, and online casinos, don't comply with record-keeping and reporting requirements, undermining investigators. The Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is XRP. Federal regulation of XRP, the digital asset of Ripple, may cause the company to relocate overseas, according to the company's executive chairman, Chris Larson, during an interview with Fortune. According to Larson, Ripple has become increasingly frustrated with what it perceives to be a hostile attitude towards digital assets by the federal government, especially the SEC. Ripple has had its share of legal battles, including accusations of legal fraud in the sale of XRP this week. Ripple's lawyers were particularly successful in having a class action lawsuit thrown out, though the judge presiding over the case refused to dismiss all of the case's claims. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was Help John Lothian News Capture Industry History with GoFundMe campaign from myself. About our campaign for your support to help keep JLN's Markets Wiki education video series and our daily operations afloat. Second was The New York Times, a columnist makes sense of Wall Street like none other, about Bloomberg columnist Matt Levine and his Money Stuff newsletter. Third was When You Have Enough, It's Time to Help Others, also from The New York Times. Here are your Markets Wiki stats of the day. The site has 189,699,042 pages viewed with 24,450 pages and 226,235 edits. This daily update has been brought to you by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannewsletter.com/trial. We are looking for more sponsors for the John Lothian Newsletter Daily Update, a podcast turning the daily JLN hits and takes comments, our original content, and the stories and quips in our top box of the first read into a daily podcast. You can sponsor either the daily episodes or the weekly recap that includes all of the episodes from the week into one longer podcast. The podcast is getting an average of 690 plays per weekday, and the weekly update has averaged 1,695 listenings each. Our audience is a perfect match for companies in the market space. For more information, reach out to me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Have a great day and a great weekend, and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.